Welcome, world, to episode 402 of the Chamberlain, Chance, and Alex podcast, a podcast about things that guys like.
It never changes.
Things middle-aged stop. Guys who aren't into sports.
Not this time of year, anyway.
And only one of them is in the cards.
Watch the Super Bowl. Yeah, only one of us is in the cards, yeah. Well, you're into digital cards. You're enjoying
digital
your
card
digital
games,
cards.
Yes. But not like a card game like Magic or something.
Oh,
Are you still playing Balotro?
You bet your sweet ass I am. It is. I've beaten it a couple of times now with a couple different decks. Each deck, when you beat it, has 10 more difficulty levels associated with it. This game spirals out in front of me for infinity.
And this is like a one. This is a small team, right? Like a,
one
this
guy.
A dude or two. One there's, dude. Okay.
Yeah, there's 12 decks that fundamentally approach. You have to fundamentally change how you approach each game. Some aces work great for some decks, some don't, and I never seem to get the ones I need. I've gotten really far.
Go ahead. I love the picture of the guy who developed this, like sitting down with actual cards, like sitting down with a deck of cards in front of him, trying to figure it out. I hope that's how he did it.
This is the only reason why I'm not just bemoaning the death of AAA video games, because this shit can still pop up out of nowhere and get the audience it deserves. It is the perfect game if you have to take your in-laws to the hospital for like 4 hours.
Oh, man. Do you have a rough week?
Not a rough week. Everything's fine. They're just regular appointments.
Oh, okay.
But, I couldn't go anywhere.
I bet you it sips the battery on your Steam Deck.
Oh, I get like 6 hours from one charge on it. Mm-hmm. It is literally an SNES game. Guess how big it is?
100 meg.
66.
66 meg.
Nice. Yeah.
Actually bigger than I thought it would be.
It's nuts. It's a little Swiss watch that I should be sick of, and yet I am not. There's one musical track, and it took me 6 hours to remember to turn it off.
That just
there's only
expensive.
One music track?
And it's so good, it took me 5 hours to get bored with it. I wish I was kidding. It's a really nice theme.
It's on consoles, too. I mean, it's sitting right there.
I've gotten my
money's
worth.
I know it's only
$15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They took the opposite advice. We were like, we want Slay the Spire with better art. And they're like, how about no art, but better mechanics?
No, the art's good. Like, everything's like just pixel art jokers, which are like kind of like the power cards. Like, one boosts every comedy roll number card. It's like a stand-up and a plaid jacket clown.
Okay.
It's like every 5, 2, and 7 gets buffed when you play it. The comedy rules. I like it.
I kept up with my Elden Ring character.
I did too, a little bit.
I remember the first time we played through Elden Ring together, you were like, how the fuck did you beat Malekith, the Black Blade? And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I just beat on him and killed him. Like, I don't understand why he's such an issue for you. I really didn't.
The answer is whams.
And whams. I figured that it was Bloodhound Step and just the fact that maybe strength was OP. No. I came at him with a medium roll and a pair of katanas. And I one-shot Malekith, no problem. Two-shot Malenia. Like, I think I'm just
solo?
On Elden Ring. Yes. Well, no. I mean, I use my bell bearing.
Okay. You use the summon.
Yeah, I use my summons, but, like, I think that's normal. And then I watch, like, videos of people fighting Malekith and just getting the shit kicked out of them by him.
That was the one time in that game I was like, I don't know if I beat him. It was, like, 16 tries for me to kill Malekith.
Yeah, My dex build is like, I think she's like 160 now or something like that. And she's just sitting at the Capitol. I killed the all-knowing guy, Gideon?
Yes, yeah. The sorcerer
yeah.
did.
Yeah, I killed that guy. And then I was just like, well, I can't beat the game, so I'll just put it aside, I guess. And so now I'm considering trying to check out Helldivers again. I'm considering redownloading Spider-Man 2 to check out all the new goodies in Spider-Man 2 and maybe just starting up another strength run in Elden Ring. I don't know.
Look, it is ridiculous how easy it is to plug in 20 hours into Elden Ring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
Like, wait, I haven't played this for 2 weeks. Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's just beautiful and fun.
It is beautiful. I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I think Landell is the most interesting place they've ever made.
Landell. I don't know. I feel like there's not enough.
I love a fallen capital.
I feel like there's not enough to discover in Landell. Like I
what
like
the
I,
fuck are you talking about? There's like three separate dungeons in Landell.
I know, but even then, I compare Landell to
Horrible Secrets.
The city in Bloodborne.
Oh, Yharnam's up there. I think Landell impressed it a little bit by just having that really sad theme. That those flautists are always playing. Gets me.
Nah, like, you know, you get to the end of Yharnam and you fight Vicar Amelia. And yeah, there's cool stuff in Landell. I'm not saying there's not cool stuff in Landell.
Well, Yharnam is like too much of like an opening. Like Landell feels like a period on a sentence you've been trying to finish for like 15 hours. But it is itself nowhere near the end.
Yeah, but it's also not as intuitively navigable as legacy dungeons.
City.
It's a maze. Like the whole thing is a maze and it doesn't really feel good.
I get lost in it a lot, but like that's kind of the point.
That's a big thing. Like it's not as Yeah, I know, but I don't enjoy checking it out like I do all the other legacy dungeons. And after I had put like a couple hundred hours into Stormvale Angel, I'd consider doing the same thing for Landell. Just making a character design to help people through Landell who knows all that place's secrets. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it because I don't like the area that much. Like, there's one version of him.
Do people like, struggle with
that's guarding the tree the first time. I always bring in Melania, bring in Melina, who's like available for that one fight, and it's just cool to see her fight. She's really wicked. I never had problems with it, but of course, there are people who are very precious about whether or not you should use the summoning bell. It's like, what the fuck do you think it's for? Like, I'm not playing a Souls game on hard mode.
It's for
there are people.
No, we're gonna play it like Pokemon. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna play it to win. I mean, because I know that these games will fuck you hard if they can, and they do, and they love doing it. And I'm gonna take every little advantage I can get, and go and kick this game's ass if I can. And I saw like a little YouTube short of this guy who had beaten New Game Plus 100 with a level one wretch, and I'm like, I've just flipped past it immediately. I don't need to see that shit. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
It's just like, I will not, he cannot
just
get hit.
Self-loathing.
Good for him.
No, it's not self-loathing. It's like a streamer who needs to create a new mountain to climb within Elden Ring, I guess.
That's what happens when video games become your job. Not in a healthy way.
Yeah. It stops being fun real quickly. Imagine being forced to play nothing but Elden Ring in progressively more difficult ways to maintain the views.
Yeah, well, the streamers I...
That sounds like a nightmare.
Fucking suck. The streamers I watch all play Overwatch. And some of them drift away from Overwatch once in a while. Like, Siegel hasn't played Overwatch in a long time. One of the streamers I really love goes by Fitzy here. He mains Sombra. And he's... not really. Like, I still play it every night. For months.
Right, but okay, so you never stop, but you lament
but you've been tempted by
for a long time. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No. I can get pissed off at Overwatch, just like, you know, we can get pissed off at our spouses. Like, there's no need to nerf Tracer's damage, honey. Like, don't do this. She's like, it's my choice.
I'm going to do it because I feel like
ever
it.
Since
you
that
don't
last patch,
me.
I've been sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, and I'm worried they're going to nerf her again because apparently she's taking up a lot of the slots in DPS in top 500. And so I worry about that. And man, like, it's current. I think it's harder to for me to get value on Tracer lately. Like, it is really hard. But whatever, I'm still
cave in and go mouse and keyboard. Come on, cheat.
No,
just cheat.
That. Never, never. But no, they put me up against
he's a man of principle.
Mouse and keyboard players all the goddamn time. I am. Yes, well, that's... I mean, weak principle, but yeah, sure. Speaking of men of principles, Alex, did you watch the first episode of? Did you watch the first episode of The Gentleman?
The Gentleman, no, but I did watch all three episodes of Shogun.
Oh, okay.
You gotten into that yet?
Okay. No, I haven't touched it yet. Like, I don't know. I'm saving that for some reason.
Chance.
Yeah, there's a... Yeah. Between you two seem to be kind of slightly out of sync. It's really weird.
Do you want to try that again?
No, you guys are fine for me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's just between you two. It's weird.
Yeah.
I can bail and come back.
Why don't you...
In.
I mean, if you want to bail and use the same link to rejoin, we can do that. And that will prevent me from having to re-edit stuff.
Okay, okay. Let's do that.
For the listener. This is how the... Oh, wait. Chance left.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm confused. No.
Should I do the same or stay here?
Testing.
Well, hold on.
Three.
Now I can hear. I can hear Chance again. Alex and Chance, talk to each other.
Talking to each other.
See, now it's pitched up again.
Oh, no.
Oh, now it's normal again. Okay.
Yeah, now it's normal again.
Okay.
Okay. That's much better.
Okay.
No,
I've set Shogun to the side just like Ted. I'm gonna get to it. I don't want to touch it yet for some reason.
Oh, you're gonna love it. Like it's the rare prestige show that my wife is getting into.
Ooh.
Just because it's got a lot of nice period detail and the politicking is good. There's all sorts of schemes, skullduggery. Do you remember the scene where like the Toranaga wants to learn how to dive? Is that from the book?
Toranaga already knows how to dive in the book.
Okay, in the show, he like makes Blackthorn like dive over and over and over and over until he's satisfied and wants to try it himself.
No, I remember that scene in the book, but that scene in the book is about Toranaga's curiosity about ships, and he's going all over the ship talking to the sailors, saying, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? How does this thing work?" Just endlessly curious about the machinations of the ship and wanting to learn. And there's a part where, you know, Blackthorn and some of the guys are diving off the side of the ship, and he comes on, and he's all glistening and wet, and Mariko translates for Toranaga and says, "My lord says you have a very good build." And he goes, "Thank him. Tell him so does he." And Toranaga is described as a kind of like Pacha from Emperor's New Groove. Kind of like that build is how he's described in the books. But Blackthorn is like very polite about it. Tell him thank you. Tell him he has a good build as well. That's how you navigate these situations. A lot of the book is about understanding politeness in Japan. And how the guy adjusts to it.
Yeah.
And that's why like this particular kind of historical event is a brilliant idea for a book and an adaptation because it's designed for a Western audience. But the character as he exists necessitates all this explanation of Japanese culture and woodworking and the way they build their houses and how that's so unique and interesting. And he finds it so efficient and clever the way like all the rooms are the size of tatami mats. And you either like build a room 8 mats wide or 20 mats wide. And they'll always fit together. Everything will always fit together because it's all built using the same shit. But you can build a palace out of it, or you can just build a house. Anyway.
It is neat. And, like, there is so much unbroken Japanese. There is an English dub you can watch on YouTube, on Hulu. Like, it's a show dub. Set in Japan. Like, capital J. Like a.
Yeah, but why would you want to watch a dub?
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to watch a dub. I want to see these actors.
But, like, there's already people on Twitter complaining there's too much Japanese in the shows.
Fuck that.
Hito period Japan. Okay.
Fuck that.
It's a show in Japan.
It's a show in Japan starring great Japanese actors. Deal with it.
Yeah, I can deal with it. Oh, which reminds me.
So fucking good.
Remember that anime I brought up last week?
Yeah, yes.
Which one?
About the assassin? Something. Yeah. Ninja something on
that doesn't
Adult
really
Swim. Hang on. I'll bring up Prime.
It's only one or two animes about ninjas. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not ninja.
There's the one with the scroll and the one with that kid that runs with his arms down. That's it.
No.
So no, it's not Naruto. It's not Ninja, Ninja Scroll. Okay.
Ninja Kahui is the one on.
Okay.
And the action in that was incredible. But once I got off the podcast last week, I realized I should have said, but the writing is fucking terrible. It really is. Like the story as it goes on is really boring. Like, you really know where it's going. Everything takes too long. But once the action kicks off, man, I'm happy to be watching this. On the opposite end of the spectrum, there's been a show, an anime, that I've been watching for weeks on Netflix called Delicious in Dungeon.
Yeah, people like this.
I love
it. I've seen a lot of it.
It's so
I've seen
cute.
The thing with the sirens.
It's just there's a halfling thief. There's a human fighter. There's a dwarf who lives in the dungeon and understands how everything can be used in cooking or in survival. And there's an elf sorcerer caster girl. And every episode is the human fighter is hungry and has learned that this one particularly obscene monster is delicious if you cook it with a little salt and pepper, and really wants to try it. And every time he sees a new monster, all the other characters, like, you're thinking about eating it, aren't you? He's like, I'm hungry, man. And every episode, by the end of it, the elf is freaking out about the prospect of eating this disgusting thing. And then ultimately, she takes a bite and goes, oh, it's really good. That is just about them making their way through the dungeon.
I would play this game.
Yeah, it's a neat little
slice of life. Yeah, it sounds like a good game. Yeah.
It's a neat little like slice of life anime about a D&D party, basically. And it's really cute. It's just nice. It's 100% character driven. The performances from the localization of voice actors are fantastic. It's lovely just to sit down. Like, sometimes when you sit down in front of your TV for a meal, Delicious in Dungeon is a great show to put on. It's just sweet and delicious. I can give that one two thumbs up. I can give Ninja Kahui one thumb up just for that combat. Yeah. And I've seen
nothing about Ninja whatever on Twitter, but Delicious in Dungeon has been on my timeline almost every day for a month. That means something.
These are characters you kind of fall in love with. It is nice. It is really nice.
Yeah, people seem to love it.
Hmm.
And just that, really that and Overwatch, basically. What has Chamberlain been playing?
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is absolutely delightful.
Shit. What?
Oh, it's wonderful.
This goes in line with
it's
every
a warm blanket. It's a warm blanket. It's a nice quality soup. It just makes you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. And I'll tell you specifically why. The characters
Minestrone or chicken noodle?
Lovable. Chicken noodle. It's comforting. This is comforting.
That's very comforting.
It is, because, I mean...
But not too hearty.
The Final Fantasy VII Remake established the new versions of these characters, right? Cloud is still Cloud. Cloud's always been Cloud. Cloud is milquetoast. Cloud is kind of boring. But the supporting cast was better. Aerith was a more interesting character because she was a character. Mm-hmm. Tifa
boring
had things to say. Barret was more than a stereotype. Yeah, Barret was more than a troubling stereotype, right? Barret was a person now. And they've moved on. These characters are still, they've grown because time has passed between the two games. So Tifa and Aerith have developed this friendship now where they just enjoy fucking with Cloud. And it's hilarious. Hmm. Where early in the game, you have to get past a swamp. In order to get past the swamp, you have to get a chocobo. And Cloud's like, And it switches to a point of view of like what he's looking, and it's just Aerith and Tifa leaning in from the sides going, can we get a bird, please? And Cloud's like, just because you can't say no to them. It's just the relationship of the party is so good. Barret, at least twice now, has just started complaining about how he's never around his kid, because Barret has a little kid who's still back in Midgar. And he's like, she's growing up without me, blah, 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 and turning into an actual character. It's just these characters are great. I just ran into Yuffie, not last time, but two nights ago. And I haven't recruited her yet, but she's there. And she's just as annoying as you think she should be. Just this way over the top, overly enthusiastic ninja who actually wants to kill people. Bloodthirsty, but still a kid. So the characters are so good, right? And then they took this and they injected the exact right amount of Assassin's Creed style open world, where you go to a tower, you activate the tower.
Okay.
The what tower gives you a couple of things in the area you want to go do.
Okay.
Literally, you walk up to a tower and you turn it on, and you're basically building a network of all these towers, so you can have communication without Shinra hearing you. These are old. It's leaning heavily into the entire area around Midgar is still in destruction. They're still wrecked because of the war between Shinra and whoever was there before. Like, Shinra conquered all this and didn't rebuild any of it. They just did Midgar, and that's it. So there's all this infrastructure out there that's kind of not really working, and you're out there trying to rebuild bits and pieces of it. You're rebuilding, you're fixing old chocobo stops because they're all broken down, and you're fixing these towers. You fix a tower, it gives you a little readout of the area, and now, okay, there's some treasure over there you can get. There's a fight over here you can do. There's some investigations over here. It's straight Assassin's Creed where you go to the tower and find things to do. But the world itself is just so wonderfully rendered that I want to go around and find all these things. It looks cool. The first area is just this large plain seaside area, and that took me like 10 hours. Just the first open area. And then you go through mines, and like chapter 2 is like a mines area, and that's very linear, and that's fine, and that's like about 2 hours, and now I'm in the second open world area. So it's kind of following Last of Us 2, where it's like linear section, big section, linear section, big section, which is cool. I mean, I'm really enjoying that. If I have to pick on something, it's that the combat itself, it's really involved and feels kind of chaotic. There's a lot going on, and
so like tag
you
teaming
need to manage almost
kind
all
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got your character you're controlling. You've got the ATB, the active time battle thing in there, where you can attack all you want, and you build one or two chunks of ATB, and you can use that for an ability, a spell, or an item. Right? If you don't have a chunk of ATB, you can't use an item, which makes it really hard if you fall behind in a fight. Like if your guy is hurt, and you want to use a potion, and no one else has any ATB, you have to go in and fight to build up the bar so you can use an item. So that's, if you fall behind in a fight, it's almost better to start over and just try to fight again. So
that was
you've got a,
my
each character has that bar, but yeah, exactly. It's if you fall behind, you might as well start over. Each character has their own bar, but the characters you're not controlling build bar very, very slowly. So if you want to use somebody else's abilities, you need to switch to that character. On top of that, each time you use a skill, you get a little blip on your co-op moves bar. There's a second bar in there, right? And the co-op moves are really good and free to use if both of the characters have the requisite number of little pips on there. So you need, basically for boss fights, you run around with one character, do like three special moves, switch to, say, Tifa, do a bunch of hers. Now you've got a co-op move. You can use the co-op move, which does damage and does another bonus. It's just, there's a lot of balls to keep in the air. There's a lot of juggling. And if you drop one, if you fall behind in a boss fight, it's like, well, you know what? I might as well just reload and start again. And it's not that I'm rushing through this. I'm well above the level requirement for any of the quests I'm doing, just because I'm doing everything in between. Maybe I'm missing something in the combat. Parrying is there, but it doesn't have the monster animations do not make parrying easy. It's never very obvious what's going to happen or what's going to hit you. So you just end up taking the lumps. But that's my only complaint. And honestly, it's not that it's bad. It's that maybe I haven't figured it out yet, or maybe it's just like kind of messy.
92 on Metacritic.
How far away are you from the end, do you think?
Oh God, I've only got like 18 hours into it. I've done nothing. I've done.
Oh, you got a ways.
I've heard
60 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
minutes.
I got a long ways to go. Yeah, yeah. So I know it's also playing with time, or at least possible separate timelines, because like one of the first things you see in the beginning is Zack is alive. But he's seeing everybody injured and getting loaded into ambulances, and then it flashes to the party who have now fled Midgar. So it's like there's two parallel timelines happening. The whole opening sequence is a pretty much rote retelling of Nibelheim. Like, no, they didn't change anything. Like, Cloud is there and Sephiroth is there, and that's where he finds Jenova and goes mad and destroys Nibelheim. So that's the same as it's ever been. They didn't change that at all. But it's beginning to tease that Aerith knows she's forgotten something that she said she's supposed to know. Because she was talking to Red 13, who's awesome, by the way. He's so great. And she said something.
I've seen
like
him ride a chocobo. Like, I'm a fan.
It's so good. Aerith is saying that there's something like in the periphery of her mind that she can't nail down. There's something she can't remember. And what it is that Zach was a thing. Like, she has forgotten that Zach was a thing at all. Hmm. So it's like, it's still twisting things. I don't know I have no idea what's going to do. I've managed to avoid any spoilers for anything. I'm pleased with myself for basically avoiding Twitter for quite a while. But I am happy that this is going to take me a solid 60 hours to get through. This is, it's good stuff. It's really well done. And you guys are like,
I'm tempted, but as soon as you start talking about the combat, you kind of lose me a little bit. You know what's
interesting? There's not a lot of it, though. It's weird. The open world is more exploration than combat. And well, regular enemy encounters,
RPG,
it's like just kind of boring.
With combat that I'm not looking forward to, I'm like, I'm not really sure about that.
It's possible I'm just not doing it right, but I think it's more that it's just kind of over-engineered. Like, there's too many pieces. You can set
like
material.
They had to turn one disc into an entire
and the
game.
Other
Maybe
party
that wasn't
members?
A great idea.
Yeah, there you go. Perhaps. There is materia you can get very early on, actually, that you can equip to characters that will allow them to use linked magic or use their abilities without your interference. But the problem then is you've wasted a materia slot, because that's now a nothing materia, and they still build their bar very slowly when you're not using them. So you're better off manually running all the combat. Now, on the flip side, you only have three characters in your party. The other characters are still there. Like, you can see them. Like, right now, my main party is Cloud, Tifa, and Red. So Barret and Aerith are in the background. But it's cool if they're both ranged fighters, and you'll see them shooting at guys outside of the party and doing damage. So it's like your other party members are still there.
I love that.
But you're not in control of them.
Yeah, I do love
also,
that.
If you're getting your... If you're getting your ass kicked, you can, like, instead of a limit break, there'll be, like, a help thing where the two characters that aren't in the party will do something to help, like throw a heal out or do some damage. So they're there as kind of a last-ditch rescue. So they're all involved in what's going on. That's a cool touch. It feels cinematic, if you will. I am quite pleased. It's one of those where it's like, I should quit so I should go to bed. And then I'll just die. I'm like, oh, I gotta go to bed. It's that kind of like, it eats up your time.
No, I know.
Quickly.
I did that the other day. What the fuck's the deeper depths? I've never been here before. Now I can't.
Yeah, that's where you do. Yeah, and once you get to deep root depths, you can just do. Who's the woman who. Who just sits in the bed and wants to hold you?
Fia, the deathbed graveside maiden thingy, right? Deathbed companion.
The Fia, the deathbed companion. Once you get to deeper depths, you can do her entire quest. Basically, you just walk back to, or you just go back to Roundtable Hold, ask her to hold you, and then when she's holding you, you can have a whispered conversation, and then you give the knife she gives you to the guy who says, who tells you not to go where the undead mariner is early in the game. Mm-hmm. The guy with, like, the twinned armor.
Oh, I
you
love
give the
his
knife
armor.
To him.
I usually wear it.
You reload Roundtable Hold. Fia has killed him and then disappears.
Ow!
You go back to the plateau in Deep Root Depths. And, you basically do a couple boss fights there, and that's it. And you can have the Rune of Death ending. Or the Rune of Undeath ending, actually.
Should have done that.
Yeah. A whole ending opens up just doing that. Anyway, you know what has 88 on Metacritic?
I've
right
definitely
now?
Not done that one.
What's that?
Unicorn Overlord.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
And fine. I don't know where I was reading it this past week, but you know what Unicorn Overlord actually is? It's an RTS.
What?
Oh.
It's an RTS. Man. It's like their
love
version.
Those
it's like a spin. I've enjoyed them in the past. I've enjoyed some in the past. But what it is imagine an RTS where you tell I fucking love XCOM. Normally in a strategy game, you say, okay, this unit attacks this unit. I did play two. I just didn't love it. You tell this unit to attack that unit. In Unicorn Overlord, instead of just like this thing shoots at that thing until one of them dies, you zoom in. And you see the units duking it out in like these big, beautiful vanillaware sprites. And the unit's behavior has been customized by you with this Final Fantasy XII Gambit style system. And once I understood it like that, I kind of went, And then I go to look up Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on Metacritic. And I'm like, you know what? While I'm here, let's just look at Unicorn Overlord. Fuck 88. God damn it. Maybe I should give it a shot. Because I love Vanillaware. I want Vanillaware to make another
game. There's a demo.
I know, but... Yeah, I probably should just check out the demo.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
The name kind of rips.
You're right.
So one other thing about Final Fantasy Rebirth, all these games have like a card game built into them, right?
Okay.
This one is called Queen's Blood. And it is, I just realized just now what it is. Do you remember the PlayStation 3 game, Eye of Judgment?
Nope.
With the actual camera?
I remember, I know of it.
Oh, with the eye toy?
Yeah. So, the eye toy, yeah. Yes. It's that. Without the eye toy. So
like you play a card. And a cool little like monster springs up or something?
No, that doesn't happen. But it's more about, because Eye of Judgment was all about positioning, like where you put your cards to claim things to power up other squares. That's what Queen's Blood is. You've got, it's all about placement and that powers up other squares, and then maybe that card has a different ability. It's honestly pretty good. But I don't want to spend money on better cards because I need to spend money on things like Phoenix Downs. So I don't know how much I'm going to pursue it, but for its little extra mini game, it's not bad. It's not
okay, bad well, here's my question about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. How sick are Tifa's abs?
Oh my!
They're looking pretty sick.
She looks better than she did in the last game.
Right? How so?
Just visually, the game looks graphics. Better. Just graphically, it's better. Yeah, I'm not talking. She's like.
I thought you were going to say ballistics.
She
Go
looks
on.
More. No. She looks more human, right? She's still,
good,
in my opinion,
good.
A little too large in some areas, right?
Yeah.
And I know they toned her down.
They could have eased
But up. She's still a little top-heavy. Yeah, they could have.
Like, there's no way she doesn't need to see a chiropractor on a weekly basis.
That's why her abs are so good. She has to hold herself up.
I guess.
Man, all you got to do to get a good posture,
crunches
regardless of your... Regardless, just ride horses for some reason. If you ever knew anyone growing up who rode horses, like for a lot of their lives, these people could walk with a book and never drop it. Like they just had this weirdly perfect posture. That's all you need to have no back pain. Ride horses.
But I think you need to have it.
To the point, Tifa's abs are fantastic.
Yeah, but there's no demo of that.
No.
Because they don't need to put out a demo.
No, they don't.
Because they're like, this thing sells. For these abs.
Put out some leery Twitter ads.
She's in my party because she's a good fighter.
Sure.
That's what
whatever. Gotta
show yourself. That's why she's on my party.
She's a valued member of the team.
She's gonna show up in Tekken 8. It's gonna be awesome.
Surprised she's not
Is
already
she really?
There.
Well, okay, Parada.
I'm sure the character
Parada has been teasing. Yeah, it can, but Harada has been teasing about it. So it's possible. I mean, Square characters have shown up in games like this before, so it would not be unheard of. And they have not announced any of the guest characters Tekken 8 yet, so maybe.
I've enjoyed all the cuts of Homelander in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, he's
just the dialogue and shit.
They got Cena to do it.
I mean, so. Peacemaker?
It makes a hell of a difference.
Peacemaker,
yeah,
not Homelander.
Yeah, no, apparently, they didn't get Anthony Starr.
Yeah, he was like, video games? Poof. Cena's like, a check? I'm there.
Yeah. Does that mean it's time for headlines?
I think so.
Headlines in entertainment news.
Oh, wait, did you guys want to hear about Dune 2?
Amazon's Fallout series.
Wait, Dune 2? Oh, you saw Dune 2? Oh, the movie.
Dune. D-U-N-E.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. So
yes, absolutely.
Good. It was okay. Excellent. Like, I have one major complaint, and that is Christopher Walken needs to lie down. He's done. It's okay.
Wait, Christopher Walken's in you. Dune 2? What?
He's the emperor, and he is... Let me put it this way. Florence Pugh has to walk up behind him 20 seconds into his scenes. It's okay, Grandpa. I'll get the exposition from here. It's okay. Just go lie down. We all love you.
Well, maybe that's who the character was.
But besides...
Like, I don't know the book.
And is he... looking for the... I just want him to be happy. I want him to have a nap. Besides that, everyone kind of got the vibe that this was maybe going to be an Empire Strikes Back kind of a thing. This movie feels like 2 hours and is pushing three. It's has two of the best action sequences I've seen in 2 years. One where they're trying to like take out some helicopters from underneath a spice gatherer, which is just, it has some great video game logic behind it, where they have to like hide behind like the legs and time their rockets right so they can take them down. Just excellent shit. Rebecca Ferguson going mad from space heroin is an incredible thing to see. They managed to weave in using space drugs to talk to your unborn sister, and it's not the weirdest thing in the movie. There's so much to talk about. Everyone's doing a great job. Austin Butler's doing a Stellan Skarsgård impression, and it's not funny. It works. The whole sequence that's like black and white, set in an arena on another planet, is incredible. Yes.
I saw a thing where like they say that this is like where you finally feel like Timothée Chalamet is actually kind of a movie star at this point.
Yeah, no, like there's a sequence where he basically becomes Space Jesus, and it's terrifying. It is paced like a horror movie scene, because it is. He realizes that he will birth the Emperor of the Universe, and he's getting out of his own way, and it kind of scares him, but also ultimate power. But also, so many people are going to die, and I know they're going to die, and I'm doing it anyway. Why won't someone stop me? Oh, fuck. It's a really interesting character.
Is this?
And I did not think that when I finished
the book. Are they
making
a third one? Is this? So
I'm pretty
this,
sure
this is the
like
second
to
of three
try.
Movies, right?
There's a lot of incest in Messiah. Well, I would love to see them try.
Isn't the first Dune book like three times bigger than any other Dune book?
Pretty much.
I'm pretty sure.
The first Dune book is
I saw them
these
all on
two
the shelf
movies.
Once. And...
Yeah. I hate his dialogue. I could not get through it.
Oh. Now, is it
the
just because
thing,
he's really not that good?
Dune movies. No, he's not. Harkonnen in the book is a mustache-twirling showboat, and in here, Harkonnen is like smoking himself to death because he's sick of being the Emperor's junkyard dog, and I think that was actually a really, really interesting choice for Skarsgård. I loved him. The best thing the movies does for the books is cut out 5/5 of the dialogue and just keep everything that actually worked. And I actually like Paul Atreides now. Great job.
I'll watch it when it comes to streaming.
You're going to have a good time.
I don't need to.
I was checking my watch waiting for Josh Brolin, and like he shows up like maybe an hour 20 in, but he feels like he's in the whole movie. It's so crazy well-paced. I'm going to see it again in IMAX.
You're going to see it again?
The worms do not disappoint. Now I'm going to see it again. It's fucking good.
But did you buy the sandworm popcorn bucket?
No one has it. They're all sold out. I think scalpers got to it.
Aww.
I've seen people try to eat popcorn out of it. It sucks. It just
that's not what people
whisks it all out of your hands.
I saw a meme today, and it's just someone looking at you very suspiciously, and the tagline is, when you buy an empty Dune bucket and one ticket for Madam Web.
Anyway. And extra butter. Extra butter.
Headlines.
You could not pay me to watch that.
Headlines. Madam Web? It's supposed to be just awful.
Yeah. With great power comes great responsibilities, like, on a portion cookie.
I watched Morpheus. Like, I will watch these terrible movies once. And it pisses me off that when people say the backlash to a shitty superhero movie is because it's an all-girl cast. It's no, because the Marvels wasn't as good as Captain Marvel, which wasn't as good as Iron Man. Like, it's okay that a movie starring all women can be shitty. Just like, they can be really, really good. That's not why people dislike these movies. It might just be a bad movie. Everything I've heard says that it's a bad movie. I'm sure it is, but I'll check it out. Just because I see them all.
Eventually.
Headlines?
Headlines.
In entertainment news, the trailer for Amazon's Fallout series makes Amazon's Fallout series look awesome. That looked
pretty
awesome.
Good.
Like, just seeing
pretty,
the Power
pretty,
Armor movie
pretty
looked
good.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Were there any specific characters from any of the games?
No.
Or is this all new fiction?
The only thing from the games is,
but
like,
they did establish
that
the ghoul in the show was a Vault-Tec salesman.
Yeah, and the new California Republic flag is there. And of course the
Brotherhood of Steel. Yeah.
Yeah. But no characters from the games as far as we know so far. Okay.
And like, they've established that
Netflix,
the reason why this guy joined the Brotherhood of Steel is to hurt people. And like, yep, that's a Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah. Netflix has ordered two more seasons of their Avatar series, so I guess that did pretty well for them.
Yeah,
I guess. I'm good.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah. I didn't watch it. But like,
I watched the original
Avatar
shows.
Is a huge deal for some
people.
Good. Yeah, I watched, like, I think probably 10 total episodes of the original animated series. And then just, you know, went on with my life and I didn't get into it like a bunch of people really got into the original cartoon. It was good. What I saw, it was good. I just don't
love it. The cutoff point for me was
absolutely love it.
Freshman year. I think that was like the absolute last time I could have watched it and really gotten something out of it. I enjoyed Korra. Korra had really good villains. I had some shit to say about
the action sequences in Korra.
Yeah.
The action sequences in Korra, I remember a little bit of like the first season of Korra I saw. Just for the action sequences, I thought it was great.
Season 2 wasn't as good, but 3 and 4 were fantastic.
Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman series is now available on Netflix. I've watched the first episode. I'm hyped for the rest. I love a good Guy Ritchie London crime caper. And the Oscar-nominated Poor Things is now on Disney+. I'm totally watching that tomorrow night. That's my Friday night movie.
It's.
I've heard really weird things about that movie. Have you seen it?
Mark Ruffalo's really fucking great in it.
Yeah, that's like that's what I hear. But I also hear like it has really divided critics. Some critics are like, "This is an absolutely brilliant movie about female empowerment," and other people are saying, "This is an absolutely exploitive piece of crap."
No,
that's about like a lady Frankenstein.
Makes a really blunt point
defined
about. Yeah,
have you seen it?
I've seen enough of it. I know what they're trying to say, and
okay.
It's about infantilization as a concept and how it eventually infantilizes the infantilizers. It's a blunt point, but I think it makes it well.
I tend to enjoy challenging feminist fare. Like, I'm one of these rare people who thought Promising Young Woman was fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I really like that movie. So I'll go into this, you know, kind of hopeful, but I've heard some things that are like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it because I really
Emma Stone is basically doing an impression of her own infant child. So
I fucking love Emma Stone. And I
yeah.
heard another thing that was like, she fails to take the advice that Robert Downey Jr. gave in Tropic Thunder. Never go full.
Never go full.
Yeah. So we'll see.
What's her name? Marco Qualley's in it too, and she definitely takes some swings. Oh. Yeah.
Hmm.
She's hard to watch in a very intentional way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
In Overwatch news, the Cowboy Bebop collaboration is coming on March 12th with a Cassidy Spike that looks nothing like Spike, complete with a revolver that kind of looks like Spike's ship. It's really weird. Like, you know, Spike uses an automatic. They changed it to kind of like a revolver that kind of looks like Spike's little fighter ship. Mm. And he's wearing a cowboy hat. And he's got a long duster, which I don't think Spike ever wore.
No.
So I don't know why they're doing that. They've got Ash as Faye, and the art looks pretty good. Mauga is jet black. It's okay. Wrecking Ball is Ayn, and Sombra as Ed. And Sombra the Hacker as Ed the Hacker makes sense, but Ed the personality and Ed the haircut matches Tracer infinitely better. So, whatever. It's a new Sombra skin. So, basically, long story short, I don't need to buy any of those.
Yeah, yeah. The best question is, who asked for this? Cowboy Bebop is old.
Better question
is... Yeah, but I like to think...
Fuck you.
I like to think someone at Blizzard did. Someone at Blizzard cares about anime. And they did the... they did the One Punch Man thing, and that's kind of striking while the One Punch Man mind share in the public is kind of hot. So, that didn't trouble anyone. Everyone was kind of hyped for that. But this says to me that someone at Blizzard loves anime. And I believe that just because the Tracer highlight intro exists with the Akira slide. Like, there are people at Blizzard who really do love anime. And is it this.
Naruto
Akira
run
slide
coming?
Is everywhere. Oh, I would hope so. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, Moira's definitely going to get a Naruto skin because when she runs, she's doing the Naruto run.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, okay. So that's already okay. That's already in the game. So
it's already there. Yep.
A demo for Princess Peach Showtime is available now, featuring the game's first two levels. To me, Princess Peach Showtime reminds me of that late Super Nintendo era where, like, Mario was a doctor. And they were doing all these weird little Mario spin-offs just because they had a game, and they might as well slap the Mario face on it. But now they're doing it with Princess Peach. And it's like, okay, but it'd be cool if there was...
But?
What?
What about Kung Fu Peach?
It's cool.
Kung
What's
Peach
Kung
is
Fu
fine.
Peach?
That's one of the levels in this
it's
game.
It's Kung Fu Peach.
Okay, well, that's... No. Yeah, but I kind of... I don't know. For some reason, I want Peach in her own game to have either her own gameplay or just her own Mario game where you're playing a Mario game, but you're Peach.
Yeah.
You know? The fact that this seems like a bunch of, like, one gimmick per level kind of game, like, that seems like it could get old really fucking fast to me. I don't know. I'm just not that hyped for it.
I'm not gonna
Alex's beloved Balatro sold 500,000 copies in 10 days.
Woohoo! They never need to update it. It has more content than I'll ever see.
A new patch for Helldivers has nerfed the railgun and offered no other efficient options for clearing enemy armor, so players are pretty divided on it. It also adds new planetary hazards like fire tornadoes and meteor showers. The dev has also teased mechs again, and players believe they can unlock them by clearing Tyne Quan, a planet they're produced on, of the Machine Menace. The next Warbond Cutting Edge launches on March 14th. I haven't done one of these Tyne Quan missions yet. I turned it on this afternoon after work, and I had time to do, like, I had a personal challenge of go kill 2 Bile Titans and we'll give you 15 medals. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I did one myself, and then I joined a group that was hunting one, and as soon as we killed the Bile Titan, I left the group.
Thanks,
we had to
guys.
Do the podcast.
See ya.
It was time to do the podcast. It was either betray them or you, and I choose them.
You left those men to die.
They'll be fine.
Democracy.
I solo those missions. They'll be fine. They had like a level 42, so they'll be okay. I'm 24. Helldiver 2's sales increased for the third week in a row, which is very unusual.
And given the state it was in 2 weeks ago, very impressive.
Yes.
It's got legs.
People want to play good games that aren't live services. Holy fuck.
Well, we'll see if it has legs if people are still playing it in 6 months. That's going to be the test of Helldivers 2.
It will last longer than PAL World because I think there's more money behind this to create more content. PAL World is right
PAL World evaporated after a week.
Yes, it did.
Well, I'm sure the servers are still up, but...
Well, yeah, it's just people dropped off because they played all the content. They realized this is a budget game. They've done everything there is to do, so...
Two fake Helldivers pages popped up on Steam this week with stolen assets from the game, each listing Arrowhead as developer and PlayStation as publisher. Steam moved quickly to remove the scam games.
Yeah, that's...
I wonder how many people got fleeced by that. Yeah.
I'm certain they got their money back.
I would hope.
Well, yeah, but like...
Well, that's Steam. Steam is always giving me my money back.
Would the scammers like be instantly paid? Because that doesn't make sense that the scammers are like instantly paid every time someone buys a game. You think it would be like, you know, every 2 weeks or once a month, Steam cuts you a check for all the games you sold. So what were the odds
honestly
that this
think
was
they
actually
just gonna
cut out
every sale individually?
For the scammer? Man, I wonder how much money they
I
made
think
off.
It's pretty automated.
Ghost of Tsushima's director's cut was announced as coming to PC on May 16th.
Is that already out on console? Director's cut? Is that the PS5?
Oh, yeah. The launch of the PS5, basically.
Okay.
The new Game Plus patch for Spider-Man 2 is now live and has inadvertently given gamers access to a game development menu, allowing you to skip the entire game. Insomniac notes that using the menu could corrupt your save and trophies and promises a hotfix is on the way. So maybe I'll hold off on Spider-Man.
Great job, guys.
Just don't go into that menu. Just avoid that menu.
I don't know how to access it. I could do it accidentally. Ubisoft's Skull and Bones price has been slashed by $25 after less than a month.
All right, so right now we need over under until they shut the servers off. I say in less than 12 months, this game will cease to exist.
Yeah, probably less than a year.
Yep.
Alex, taking that?
Less than 12 months. Like, it's Ubisoft. It's not going to die immediately, but it's... I don't think it makes it... I think, like, 10 or 11 months.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That sounds fair.
Baldur's Gate 3's physical release for Xbox will come on 4 discs.
What the hell?
It's a lot of textures. A lot of voice
lines.
Are they
not releasing a physical version for PS5? They must be.
I think they already did last year.
And yet, not enough Karlach.
No. No, there has been no physical release for Baldur's Gate yet.
Oh.
Anywhere. It's digital only.
So far.
They saved a lot of money that way.
Yeah, they did.
A rumor this week says Gravity Rush 2 is coming to PlayStation 5 and PC and will be revealed in May. I would play that again.
I would love to play it on my Steam Deck. Holy shit.
True.
Yeah, you'd be good on Steam Deck. But like, you still have to do the stealth sequences.
I'm going to get it.
Industry insiders say Dragon Age Dreadwolf is releasing later this year.
Oh, bullshit. I'll believe that when I see it.
What the fuck else has BioWare been up to? Well, yeah, but that's because the last time they showed us, we were like, that's nothing. That's concept art. Like, show us something real. So they're like, okay, we'll get to work on it and come back when we can show you something real. And they're going to give it the Fallout 4 treatment, where early in the year we get a big reveal. Here's everything, and it's coming out in 3 months. That'd be great.
That would be great. I don't know if BioWare's that kind of company anymore. I think they're pretty desiccated at this point.
Well, they haven't been for a while. But, you know, maybe whatever BioWare is now will live up to its pedigree. You gotta have hope.
I gotta have hope. And it's Silk Song any day now.
There was something on Silk Song where they changed something on the Steam listing, and people were going crazy about it, but it was nothing.
I saw that. Even worse,
I refused to get my hopes up about that.
And I didn't cover anything from it because there wasn't really anything interesting. But Xbox did a little third-party showcase this week.
Yeah,
and on their YouTube channel, someone said, oh man, I can't wait for Silksong news. And the official Xbox account responded and said, well, we'll see you in 15 hours then.
And there was nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And then it was a bunch of assholes. Responses of clown face emojis. Yeah, I know. What a dick move from whoever runs that social.
I watched that, and the only thing that got excited me, oddly enough, was a re-release of the original Stalker games.
Oh, yeah. Like
Shadow of Chernobyl, Clear Sky, and whatever the third one was.
Remakes or re-releases?
Yes, the thing. Are they re-releases or remakes?
They are updated to run on console. Yeah, they are not remakes. They are cleaned up, shall we say, to run on console.
Meh, don't need it.
Meh. They look wretched.
What wonders is that like I love Shadow of Chernobyl, but I don't know if I can play.
I've always wanted to get into them.
Yeah,
they are.
It's like I love the Dirt Project. I could
hurt you real bad.
Yeah, no. Shadow of Chernobyl was a vicious game. Like, it was a survival game. I mean, it wasn't just a shooter. It's like you had to carry food around and rad stuff around. It was mean. It was a mean game. I just don't know. I don't know if I could play it now and enjoy it.
The Tundra
it's
wants
only 20
you
bucks. Yeah, it does. It's only 20 bucks, but Final Fantasy. So, no, silliness. I'm not going to do that.
Final Fantasy. There you go. I should check out that Unicorn demo.
Oh, the other thing that I almost
like
bought
I like a
is
Queen's Blood demo.
Oh, nice. The guys have been remaking like all the Turok games, Night Dive Studios.
Okay.
Remade Dark Forces.
Oh yeah.
And it's supposed to be really good.
No, I think I saw some gameplay of it and it looked like the original game. Like
I mean, their remakes are not. They don't
I mean, it's not
anything.
A system shock, but
it
looked
look
okay.
Run. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's tempting. I never actually played that one originally. I never played the original Dark Forces. I somehow missed that one.
The original Dark Forces was great if you just finished playing Doom. Like, the original Doom. You don't need to play. You don't need to play Dark Forces
in
2024.
I'm not getting any other AAA first-person shooters lately. I mean, what?
Yeah,
what am I going to get?
Sure not. Fucking Electronic Arts is canceling them.
I mean, the new Doom isn't going to be out this year. We know it exists. No one's talking about it, but it exists. It's a prequel.
Isn't Avowed out this year?
Avowed is out this year. But Avowed is going to be short, and it's not really a shooter.
You
I'm talking
it's
about
short.
Alex, I thought you said that you read something that Avowed was going to be like Outer Worlds length.
Yeah,
no, I think that's an assumption.
Like a 25-hour-ish experience.
Okay, but did you read that somewhere, or are you assuming that, Alex?
That is what they said in a press release, yes. Expect something closer to Outer Worlds.
Oh, that's
there is like,
which is
well,
fine.
I want to be clear here.
Well,
this is not Skyrim.
You know,
this is how this
a
is
25-hour... 25-hour first-person shooter, though, as a pretty sizable first-person shooter.
That's fine. That is fine.
Yeah.
Dual-wielding wands like a gunslinger. Yes, please.
Exactly. Pew, pew, pew.
That is true. But I wouldn't mind that Doom prequel this year. Doom Eternal is, what, 3 years old? 4 years old? I mean, it's time.
Yeah.
Did you see that Dune survival
or
game?
Maybe.
That did not look shabby.
I saw it. I didn't.
No, it's not like a, I thought what we've seen of that are like CG trailers.
No, that was like in gameplay, like base building.
Oh.
That makes sense. One of the seminal RTS games was Doom 2000, if you think about that. So it's.
But, hey, but the worms don't look like the worms in the movie
today.
Doom 2000? It's supposed to be like Ben and Conquer level.
Harkonnen's OP.
This is what it is. of course. So I'm still going to be on Final Fantasy for forever. You guys still just going to keep playing Elden Ring? I thought
I'm going to check out the demo. I'm going to keep playing Overwatch.
Okay. Alex,
every now and then
trying out Borderlands 2 to test my power bank, and yeah, fuck it. I'm going to max out my first character in Borderlands 2. This game's so fucking hard when you get past level 50. Jesus Christ. it's the one Borderlands game I can't, like, max out. And I've always wanted to be good enough to do it.
I believe in you. If there's one of us who's going to do it,
I don't,
it,
man.
You.
I'm dying so much.
You just like, gotta min-max your build,
I
man.
I finished Borderlands 3. I maxed out every character without even really looking shit up. But this game, fuck.
You'll min-max it, I'm sure.
It's mean.
So at some point, like, at some point, the sky will crack open. You'll see the Matrix, and yeah. You'll come back to
see,
us talking about
thing.
A submachine
I've already played
gun.
This game for over 600 hours. Where's the Matrix?
Okay, fair enough.
It's deep.
I've been playing it for 10 years almost nonstop.
Yeah, it really opens up after the 700th hour, Alex. Just got to stick with it.
Look, man, I'm still getting something out of it. I can't explain it. It's so
if it's
good,
it's good.
Yes. You know, like, you've
it's
always
good.
Loved
it's
these
a good
games.
Shooter.
Okay. If that's your chicken soup.
I do. It is my chicken soup. It's hearty.
Speaking of chicken soup, Chance, rumors continue to swirl that Sega is going to release a reboot to Virtua Fighter.
Well, that won't heavily fan it.
It probably won't, because they're talking about having to create a lot of new characters, because a lot of if you look at the characters in Virtua Fighter, they're kind of boring characters. Like, this is Karate Dude. This is, you know, Indian Guy. This is Ninja Dude. They don't really have personality. Lei Fei kind of does, but...
I think they all do.
Akira's Karate Guy.
But their personality comes out through how they fight. Like, there's a Karate Guy, and then there's the way Akira does it. Which is like he stands perfectly still and then he's thumped his entire body into you and sent you flying across the ring. There's tons of personality in each of the fighting styles. And yeah, whatever.
The current rumor is it's a reboot. So who knows what that'll be.
You know, as long as I got Jeet Kune Do, maybe I could come in and do Jackie because I've had a lot of time with Jackie, or I used to at least. But still, I love Lei Fei. He's my guy.
The idea that's coming back is good, but you cannot trust Sega to not fuck it up. They are not flawless.
True. No, 100%.
They may find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, Infinite Wealth is going to be my end of the year list for sure.
Well, they got that one right. So, they got to pay for that somehow.
It's now fucking standing.
All these previews I'm seeing lately are saying Dragon's Dogma 2 is set to be the breakout RPG 2024.
Ah. I should finish one of those games, or that game.
This might be the one. Just wait until it comes out. Maybe reviews will push you into it. But I wouldn't go. Like, I know that Dark Arisen is on sale for like 60% off right now.
It always does.
I got it for like $10 like 3 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. And so yeah, like if you, but every time I look at it on PlayStation Network, I just look at the screenshots and I'm like, oh no, no.
Hideous.
It's a PS3 game.
It is a PS2 game in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I don't want to play that. But, unless we're really
running around
really
empty giant hallways.
Yeah, so 2 weeks and I'll be checking out Dragon's Dogma, I'm sure.
All right.
And that's all I got.
That's all I got, too.
Excuse me. It's been a long day.
I know you made me do it.
I had to drive a lot today. Just tired. And now I need to play Final Fantasy. Because it's kind of a job.
Oh, God. You're not selling me on that fucking game.
No, that's not what I mean. I didn't have time to play it yesterday because I was busy. And if I take 2 days off, I'll start to forget what I was doing. So it's like I need to put an hour into today just to kind of keep the momentum going so I can remember what I'm doing. Otherwise, I'll just forget. And I don't want to do that. Cloud deserves better than that. No, he doesn't. Cloud's boring. I'll never understand the affection for Cloud. I really don't.
It's the sword.
But he has no personality. He's never had personality.
He's the hero protagonist. He's the Bella.
He's the guy. Yeah, he's kind of the player character's character.
Yeah. Oh, he's Gordon
the player's
Freeman.
Character.
Okay.
And he wields like the fucking greatest sword of all time, basically. It's not a great sword. It's the greatest sword.
His name is Buster, and he's a really nice guy.
Like Guts would look at the Buster sword and go, "You're just compensating for something."
That's a bit much. What are you doing?
What are those holes supposed to do? What the fuck is that there for? Materia, I guess.
Well, I will return next week with more tales of Final Fantasy Rebirth and see what when the whispers show up and when it breaks plot points. We'll see what happens.
Oh, that's right. There's that, like, whatchamacallit, Kingdom Hearts bullshit.
Yeah, that is, yeah, kind of.
The fate ghosts.
Fate, yeah. Or the angry breath of fanboys going, you can't do that. Oh, we can. And we're going to. So, all right. In that case, Alex, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Chance, thank you for talking.
No trouble.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you in a week.
Ba-da-ba-ba.